Elections that were not held in 9 years in Lebanon, Hezbollah and its allies made sweeping gains. These gains are not only important for Lebanon, but it also serves as a lesson for the countries that invested heavily in Lebanon, both politically and financially, in which they came out empty-handed. In this debate, we're going to take a look at the winners and losers of this election and what the future holds for this country. First, let's cross on over to Beirut and talk to our correspondent, Mariam Saleh, who's been covering these elections prior and during and after from the get-go and till the end. And she tells us now to tell us more about the results and more. Mariam Saleh, what do you have for us?
Lebanon in itself, you cannot exclude any side. And you stress that unfortunately some sides, some foreign sides, have put in a lot of money and put a lot of efforts to try and create this rift and try to break the places, especially in places where you have supporters for the resistance. So this election, with the result of Hezbollah coming out with 15 seats, the Yamal movement coming with 15 seats, Hezbollah's allies, you have some at least five or six independent candidates who are very much pro-resistance. That is also another big achievement for the pro-resistance members of parliament. So this is why we can say that the parliament in itself, as Hezbollah Secretary General has said, is a guarantee for the resistance. They can guarantee that they have the majority in a way that would not allow for hurting or targeting the resistance. Now, of course, there remains the group that is Western-backed, but even those groups say that they now are ready to put their hands in hand with their partners inside Lebanon, hopefully with this in mind, with the fact that Hezbollah does have a majority in the parliament. This would allow the other sides to calm down, as we have also heard from Hezbollah Secretary General, to calm down and think of the internal problems and the issues that we have, especially in light of regional issues now with Israel, planning ahead and saying they will go ahead with their wall, their border wall in Lebanon, even on areas that are considered Lebanese or at least disputed, then this will be another challenge for Lebanon. So therefore, together, they need to face this issue. So we can say that at least the parliament will be very much a majority for the pro-resistance groups.
Thank you very much for that. We appreciate it. Correspondent Mariam Saleh there from Beirut. Well, let's get some analysis into the picture. Journalist and political commentator Marwa Osman joins us from Beirut. We have journalist and political commentator Martin Jay also joining us from Beirut. I'd like to welcome you both. And Marwa Osman, let me start with you. One of the things that appears to be the focus, I'd like to find out from you how true you think that's going to actually happen, is the unity within parliament now that Hezbollah has come out and has gained the majority that it has, in a sense. When it comes to major decision making, do you think they will be there's going to be one voice that's going to come out of parliament in terms of major decision making when it comes to, again, to some regional issues in general?
Well, no, I don't believe that that's going to be the case. Majorly, that would be the case when it comes to targeting the resistance, like, for example, the upcoming milestone for everyone now is the formation of a government, and that for that to happen, we have to take into consideration the results of this election. But while formulating the government, the new government, there will be talk about what the draft of this government will talk about. We need to know about what sort of words would be used to legitimize the presence of weapons in the hands of the resistance against the Takfiri terrorists and Israeli occupation forces, or Israeli enemy for that matter, for Lebanon. So that's what we will be looking forward to, not when we say about major issues happening in the country or needing to be resolved in the country, for example, like economic problems, or for example problems of the environment, of the trash situation in Lebanon as well. I don't think there will be major conflicts about that, but there will be major conflicts about two important points, which is what the new draft of the governmental draft will look like, what we'll say about the resistance, and the second one will be what will happen economically to Lebanon if there's no resolution about the presence of Syrian refugees in Lebanon, if it's not sorted out directly with the Syrian government. So there's also a big deadlock there. We need to see how that will turn out, because if the choice of prime minister will go to Prime Minister Saad al-Hariri to become a prime minister again, I think he's going to have some sort of a problem trying to deal with the Syrian government. So I think deals for formulation of a government and for assigning a prime minister, a new prime minister, will have to do with these two specific issues, resistance and Syria. And to be honest with you, this is where it comes, where Hezbollah comes, the majority for Hezbollah in the parliament comes in handy, because when we say about certain issues that are that huge, that have came from the, that actually have come from the gains that Hezbollah and the resistance and the allies of Hezbollah have made inside of Syria, then we can say that Hezbollah might have a role in changing or stopping the choice or pushing for its own choice, because now they have the majority. But when you talk about internal, economic, environmental issues, I don't think there would be a problem. So basically, if we go after formulating the government and it happens with everyone's consent, then I don't think there will be a problem. On the contrary, I think that everyone is willing now, with the new electoral law, with the new parliament, to work together, to sit side by side and probably work together.
Okay, let's break down some of the things that perhaps maybe it's put to rest now, maybe not, Martin Jay. And we're taking a look at first Hezbollah arms in terms of the movements and how these arms now will serve not only it but also the country. I'm thinking that it's going to fend off any suggestions and put it to rest, this call for disarmament of Hezbollah. Do you think that issue is now laid to rest?
Yeah, I think it's a done deal. I can't imagine now an opposition bloc, if you want to call it that, actually now using its much more fragmented, weaker position to signal to Hezbollah and its allies that the issue of arms once again is on the table. No, I don't think that can be really anything worth discussing in any short period of time. I mean, what's hugely important and what we should all be watching out for right now and in the coming days and weeks is if the right signals are there from Mr. Hariri and from the loose patchwork of opposition groups that sort of cling to his are part of his apron, whether they are willing to sit down and actually agree on a new cabinet. This is always a hugely contentious and incendiary subject of who gets which particular cabinet post, because in Lebanon, some political analysts almost go as far as to say it doesn't actually matter whether you're part of the ruling coalition or the opposition. What is really important is whether your party gets the Minister of Defense, Minister of Justice, Minister of the Interior, and even the telecoms job, which is the cash cow in Lebanon. That's where all the money is. So I mean, that needs to be resolved in the next few days and few weeks. If that doesn't happen, then you've got monumental problems ahead for Lebanon, because Lebanon is once again straddling two worlds, two ideologies, East and West. And Marwa mentioned earlier that she thought it would be quite relatively straightforward resolving economical problems, environmental problems, but they haven't been done in the past. They've always stumbled over these issues. I don't think the new setup in the parliament now, with Hezbollah having one or two more seats, notably from the independents, is going to make much difference. You know, let's deal with reality. Lebanon is a hugely corrupt country. I mean, it's one of the most corrupt countries in the world. And civil status, civil state issues, social issues, environmental, economical, political issues like this don't get dealt with easily unless powerful business elite leaders have their hand in the pot. We've seen that in the past with the environment, with the trash, the garbage issues. So I'm not so confident that will move forward very quickly. What's much more important is to actually allow the groundwork to take place and to see if Mr. Hariri is able to form a government and to actually select the right ministers. Why? Because Lebanon has some huge problems ahead of it. At the moment, there was a great deal of optimism from the international community that Mr. Hariri and his affiliates would be unofficially the ones that would chaperone a new era of foreign investment in Lebanon, with the $11 billion that was raised in Paris a few weeks ago. You know, no one actually said it, no one stated it in so many words at that conference, but the nod and the wink was that Hariri would be the one that would handle that. He would usher that new era in. Now, nobody assumed that he would lose power in these elections, so there's a big question mark hanging over that, whether Hezbollah and Hezbollah's leaders will want to be part of that. Hezbollah wasn't invited to the Paris talks, don't forget, so they may well react in a petulant way. So a lot of issues on the table the next few weeks and few months, and all eyes are on Hariri now, who is in very much many ways a loser, but still clinging on to a position of prime minister.
Yeah, I wasn't going to get into the finances and the economy as a whole, But given the fact that Lebanon is one of the most indebted countries, if you want to take a look at it ratio-wise, there are challenges there. Marwa Osmana, now that Martin Jay says there's a whole great deal of corruption, well, this could lead to an instability of a country if they're not resolved. Then you have the fact that you have, like, this pledge that was made, $11 billion, whether it's going to flow through. And Marwa Osmana, my question to you would be, is Saad Hariri very serious about making sure pledges like this and investment overall is going to flow into the country? And will he include Hezbollah on board these types of initiatives?
Well, he cannot not include anyone anymore on board. Everyone has to be on board because of the new parliament, if I may. But the issue here is, before we start talking if Saad Hariri is actually going to make it to become a prime minister or not, to talk about this new debt that Lebanon might have to hold to hold as a burden, but as well, but it's, which is much needed for further investments and new project. But at the same time, we heard what Sayyid Nasrallah was saying before during the weeks that came up to this to Sunday. He was saying that on the agenda of Hezbollah there will be fighting corruption. This is the first time we ever hear Hezbollah talking about fighting corruption, given the fact that it is allied with the Amal movement, and we all know how long the Amal movement has been in power and how well connected to the people or to the people with capitals in Lebanon are, to the people, to the investors in Lebanon also. Maybe Hezbollah is going to have some problems with its own allies as well. Before we talk about whether Saad Hariri will be on board or not, we should also talk about how Hezbollah on the also before the elections, Sayyid Nasrallah was saying that he was talking about that new debt that Lebanon might be taking from Europe through Paris. He was saying that we have not calculated that properly, and I think we need to talk about that, which means that Hezbollah is not on board, and if Saad Hariri wants to become a prime minister, he's going to have to include them and take their approval, which means that they have to sit down and talk, exactly like what they did when they decided upon the electoral law. They sat down and they spoke together. It took a lot of time, but they did ended up with an agreement. So basically, if we want to talk about any further debt for Lebanon, if we want to talk about corruption cases, which I agree 100% with Martin, and I would also like to add on the ministers that Martin mentioned, there's the Ministry of Finance, which is a huge, important ministry for Nabih Birri, who is ready to fight for, again, with the Free Patriotic Movement, and here we will see Hezbollah in the middle between both allies, which is the Shia ally, the main ally of Hezbollah, and again with the Free Patriotic Movement as well, which both parties who are allied with Hezbollah have been bickering and fighting for so long now. So now we will literally see Hezbollah working as a referee in the parliament. Hezbollah now has the majority, but at the same time, Hezbollah would be the main power that would ignite issues inside of the parliament, or just make it a lightweight and push it forward, maybe for further discussion. So yes, there will be a lot of new responsibilities for the Hezbollah members of parliament and the Hezbollah ministers, and they have to live up to all the expectations that was given to the people. And that's exactly why we saw the allegiance of the people by voting for them when they won a sweeping victory in the south. And because, well,
right. So, Martin J, if I'm the U.S. or maybe Saudi Arabia or both, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, how can I exploit this to my advantage? I'm guessing that's probably one of the things that they may be looking at. I mean, I'm looking down here. The U.S. just helped Lebanon with some arms, rifles, guns, etc. We know about the $1 billion credit line that Saudi Arabia has extended. I'm not too sure if that was taken up or not. Some reports indicate that it hasn't. So are we looking at that being a possibility, or has it gone into motion already?
It's so difficult to put yourself in the shoes of Donald Trump, because he's such a capricious individual. He changes his mind almost on an hourly basis and runs foreign policy on the hoof that even his own State Department officials have to follow his Twitter feed to second guess him. But I think the news that will be filtering through to him, to Saudi Arabia, and to Israel is that Lebanon has galvanized its Shia community, certainly, and Hezbollah's got more organized and done a bit better than what was possibly expected. And now the ambiguity that there was previously in Lebanon over whether Hezbollah really had complete legitimate power now has gone. Now we do have a Hezbollah government. There's no question about that whatsoever. And I think that may well feed in to the paranoia, to the super hawks in the White House near Trump, like people like Bolton, that now we need to look at Lebanon as more of a threat than an ally. But there's a lot of contradiction here. You know, you talked earlier about the amount of money. I mean, Lebanon is one of the highest recipients of U.S. military aid in the world, and I've been here 6 years, and I've always scratched my head and tried to work that one out. You know, sometimes I think that the reason why the Americans do that is because they want to justify or to at least halt the Israelis at the last moment and to stop them bombing Lebanon and Hezbollah. But if you just recently see, just in the last couple of hours, an Israeli minister, I think, mentioned that now this vote's come through, we can look at Lebanon as one now. Hezbollah and Lebanon are one. And the insinuation is very clear from an aggressive point of view from Israel. They've been beating their chest a lot in the last 6 months to a year and pumping up the rhetoric. But the reality is, I don't think they would go ahead and hit Lebanon because of that aid that you talked about, the military aid. You know, the last thing, and don't forget, part of the Michel Aoun's agenda when he came into office as a president is he made it very clear that if the Israelis ever attacked Lebanon, that the Lebanese army, which is the recipient of US aid, would actually be part of that resistance as well, along with Hezbollah. So I think we shouldn't worry too much about what Washington will do or what won't do or how it regards this latest movement in Lebanon, which is not a huge seismic shift. We shouldn't indulge ourselves too much in Western journalist rhetoric about Hezbollah sweeping the parliament. You know, they didn't sweep the parliament. They got well organized, and it was Hezbollah and its own allies, and they made sure they had a coalition which was much more stronger and more rigid and better organized than Hariri's side. But we shouldn't get too worried about that. But I think if we look at the bigger picture, if Trump is genuinely considering an act of aggression in the coming months against Iran or Iran's proxies anywhere, I think his own people will now be looking at Lebanon as even more of a problematic case, and possibly using the excuse now that Lebanon is an all-out Iranian satellite because of these elections. So it's not really good news from Washington's point of view or from the West point of view at all. I mean, Israel and Saudi Arabia will not be looking at today's news with much satisfaction, I think more intimidation. And the Saudis are going to have a problem with Hariri now, because if you look at what happened in November with the fiasco of the kidnapping,
right.
And then Hariri supposedly coming back to garner more support. In fact, that hasn't happened. And I think the people to watch in the next few weeks and few months will be the statements coming from Riyadh and whether MBS and his people actually hold out any signals to talk to other Sunni leaders in Lebanon, like perhaps Mikati.
So I think I got the answer there, but I'm going to put the pieces together and see if you agree, Marwa Osman, from what Martin Jay said. The U.S. has said that Hezbollah cannot be part of the equation in Lebanon and that it will do what it can to undermine it. But I'm guessing, perhaps from what Martin Jay said, that one way to do it would be to create havoc inside Syria, given the fact that Hezbollah will perhaps get involved in Syria, and then give the U.S. more of a reason to then demonize Hezbollah in that respect. Do you think that would be a scenario that may play out?
Well, the demonizing factor, that has been happening for the past 15 years aggressively against Hezbollah after the 2006 war. It's been, you look in the mainstream media, you could see that. But again, this elections was very important for all foreigners. If you look at the New York Times, for example, the New York Times in the past couple of months, 6 articles allocated only for the Lebanese elections, talking about Hezbollah and specifically about areas where if Hezbollah takes wins in the elections, would be very, maybe they would take it as some sort of a threat. But saying that they would not allow Hezbollah to be part of the government, I mean, they already are part of the government. They were since the early 90s part of the government. No one can stop that, because it's what the what the citizens of Lebanon want, what the Lebanese people want. We're not going to talk about that, but we will talk about the rhetoric coming from Donald Trump against Iran and from Israel against Iran as well. And when we talk about Iran, we definitely have to talk about Hezbollah. I mean, if you read, for instance, from yesterday up until today, up until this morning, the Israeli media, you could see how they are paranoid about Iran's going to hit us now, Iran's going to hit us in a week. They're setting a timetable for Iran to allegedly retaliate for the martyrdom of their soldiers inside of Syria. So basically, Israel is trying to portray that they are ready to interfere inside of Syria, on Syrian soil, to bomb certain strategic areas inside of Syria for Iran and the allies of Iran, meaning the Syrian Arab Army and Hezbollah, at any moment to, in quote-unquote, self-defense. But the issue at hand here is, if that started, if that really started in the southern part of Syria, will it also spread or take part also, Lebanon will be taking part in it or not? Because when you say that Israel might want to start something in Syria because to maybe provoke Hezbollah into maybe retaliating, of course Hezbollah is going to be retaliating from Syria, because no one, whether in Hezbollah or in Iran, wants to see another war in Lebanon. They want to try and shift that into the Syrian territory for one goal only, to liberate, to have a reason to liberate the Golan Heights. And that's what Israel is basically terrified from. Any sort of war will mean certainly some sort of a liberation for these areas. And that's what Israel, and I could understand this paranoia, they don't want anyone to get closer to that area. And Hezbollah and the Iranians as well have been getting closer and closer year by year ever since they got involved in Syria. So the issue here, we need to look at how desperate is the Netanyahu government for war. And we saw what happened last week with Netanyahu and his big magic show about Iran and the nuclear weapons. But at the same time, we hear a lot of decrease in rhetoric from Europe saying, no, we will can be committed to that Iran deal. But at the same time, you have someone like Donald Trump, who basically can take any decision at any time without going back to anyone. And he might listen to Netanyahu and start something. But if he actually started something in the Middle East, in the region, I don't think he's going to be the one finishing it.
30 seconds to you, Martin J. So we're looking at a scenario going down in Syria. Possibly we've seen the increased attacks from Israel. In particular, we're looking at areas that Iran's military personnel are. I think that that's a political decision made by Israel to target those areas. Therefore, will we see Hezbollah getting more involved, and if that's so, with the Lebanese army on board with Hezbollah?
Well, I don't see a scenario where the Lebanese army will actually move into Syria, but I see the possibility, certainly in the future, of Syria becoming more nervous and more skittish about Iranian military installations, and also the fact that Russia has not completely played the role that that Israel was hoping it would do. I mean, if we think a few weeks ago to that frantic phone call between Putin and Netanyahu. I mean, Netanyahu is heading into his own political crisis, and we've seen in history in Israel, when leaders have a political crisis, that they tend to press the war button. But in Syria, the stakes are so much higher. And I think what's happened in the last few weeks with the downing of drones and Israeli jets, that we will possibly see a new kind of conflict, probably by air, between Israel and Syria in the coming weeks. And keep your eye also on the U.S. military base Al Tanf in the southeast of the country, which I think is expendable.
Very well. We're going to do that. Thank you very much. Press TV's Mariam Saleh in the beginning of the program. Give us an update. Let me thank Marwa Osman, journalist and political commentator, with her comments, and Martin J., journalist and political commentator from Beirut. Thank you. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Debate. From Mikhail Tawai, entire team in the capital, Tehran. It's goodbye.